Hello, hello, hello. Just got back from work. I work at accounts up at a firm in London, and my main hobby, I mean, really much the only thing I do outside of work is exercise and keeping fit. You know, I'm very much a keep fit fanatic. And so when I finish a day, I get back, I have a quick dinner, a vegetarian dinner. I don't eat meat because it's very bad for your health. And then I'm straight down the gym. And I often spend a great deal of time there pumping iron, you know, building up, making sure I've got good abs and so on. And then when that's, well, that's basically the only thing I do outside of work. Because, yeah, you gotta feel that burn. You gotta go through the wall. It's not a wall, it's a wall that you hit. And when you reach that wall, what can you do? You can try and climb over the wall, but you can't do it. It's too high. You can try and dig under the wall like a rabbit, but you can't do that because you're not a rabbit. You're a human being. So you've got to go through the wall. You've got to go through the wall. Yeah, that's what I do. I spend all my time doing that, going through the wall so that I can get stronger and bigger and have very, very, very big arms and be manly. Yeah, manly. Very, 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 very manly. Yeah. Hello, hello, hello. Today I'd like to talk about the kind of people who are very, very, very interested in their appearance. And I'd like to look at the correlates of those kinds of people. I was inspired to do this by reaction to my video on people who have tattoos. Now, some might say that having a hostile reaction to a video on people that have tattoos would make one, if anything, inclined to be more careful about doing videos relating personality and what people look like in the future. But I've decided that, no, if anything, it should spur me on, because physiognomy is correct, and physiognomy allows a great deal to be understood about people. Who are the kind of people who are concerned about gym use, who are concerned about what they look like, and who want to make sure that they look really, really, really good? One of the things actually that made me think about this was various comments that have been placed about my colleague Michael Woodley of Manee. Somebody wrote that, oh, he's over 30. How can he have arms that thin? How can he have arms that only have an 8-inch circumference? So I got thinking about this, and I got thinking, what kind of men would be concerned about how thick their arms were? And the answer is basically men who are mentally unstable and narcissistic. This seems to be, well, certainly mentally unstable. This seems to be what's going on. So some very interesting research by Bowles found the relationship between personality and exercise, found that in general, those that engage in a moderate amount of exercise, the people who just do a bit of exercise just to make sure that they're reasonably fit, those people are psychologically relatively normal. Those people are low in mental instability, and they are high in conscientiousness, and they are high in agreeableness. In other words, they are high in what's called the general factor of personality. They're the kind of people that you want to be around. They're the kind of people that get on in life. Now, this makes sense, of course, because you would expect that people that were low in conscientiousness would be too lazy to do any kind of exercise regimen, and would be just too bone idle and would put on weight and whatever. Those that were low in agreeableness wouldn't care about other people's perceptions of them, and so they wouldn't care if they looked quite appalling. And those who were very, very mentally unstable would often find that they were too exhausted with life to be able to do anything. So that makes sense. But it's when people are very, very interested in going to the gym, it's when their main hobby is keeping fit, when their life is their job and keeping fit, when they are very concerned about their appearance, then this relationship seems to reverse. So another study by Lewis, Understanding Exercise Behaviour, he again found a similar kind of thing, but Costa and Olivier found that it was reversed. They found that in those that are very, very interested in exercise, very, very frequently going to the gym, and who it's a big part of their life and who it's their hobby, those people are low in agreeableness and they are high in neuroticism. In other words, they are mentally unstable. Now, this, of course, makes sense, because being low in agreeableness, they are narcissistic, and they are therefore deeply concerned about what others think of them and how others see them, and they want to be understood to be sort of perfect and this kind of thing. And so it makes sense, if they perceive a muscular frame as being perfect, then that is what they want to achieve. In other words, they are extremely vain people, and this is what motivates them to spend all of their time at the gym. They are basically high in narcissism. They're also high in mental instability, A, because this is a component of narcissism anyway, but B, because it makes them anxious about what they look like, they are anxious about how others perceive them, they are anxious about not being perfect, because that's what they regard themselves as being, perfect. And so anything that makes them question that is deeply concerning, and so of course this acts as a motivator to get them down the gym all the time. They want to be the muscle man because this makes them feel better about themselves, because ultimately, although they kind of have high self-esteem and whatever, they're quite vain, there's a part of them that where they don't really feel good about themselves. And there are a number of other studies that have found this. That Emeny and Bomb was another study. Same thing. People who are very, very focused on physical exercise, who are down the gym all the time, whose main hobby is physical exercise, tend to be high in physical anxiety. They are anxious about their appearance. They are anxious about becoming overweight. They are anxious about becoming unhealthy. Pathologically so. And this is what motivates them to spend all of their time exercising. And now this should make sense, really. So the kind of men that you see that have these incredible physiques, these bodybuilder physiques, with the sort of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe physique, that is not a normal physique to have. And men that have that physique will have to work on it, and they will have to spend a great deal of their time attempting to achieve and maintain that physique. It is not a normal thing to have, unless you are in days of yore, if you're a full-time soldier or something. But certainly in an ecology in which very few people do physical labour as part of their job, it is not a normal thing to have. And therefore, there are certain personality traits which are associated with achieving it. And it seems that these are narcissism, which makes sense. It's being obsessed with what you look like, being obsessed with having a perfect body, and a mental instability, which means you have low self-esteem, high neuroticism, and so therefore you're desperate to overcome that by having this perfect body and seeming physically perfect. So I can't stress enough, those that criticise people like my colleague or even myself, saying, oh, God, you haven't got very muscular arms, I would suspect that those people would be high in mental instability and would be also high in narcissistic traits. Now, that's the men that are fascinated by what they look like and regard what they look like as very, very important. What about women? Well, this is perhaps unsurprising. It's what you would expect, really. What kind of women have cosmetic surgery done? What kind of women are going to have a nose job or a lip job or whatever it might, or Botox, or anything like that, a boob job, whatever. What kind of women will do that? Well, there was interesting research by a guy called Malik, and he found that 47% of those who present for plastic surgery of any kind are subclinically mentally ill. Basically, they have narcissistic personality disorder. That's pretty much what's going on. And as for the rest, although they may not be to the point of being diagnosably mentally ill, i.e. potentially a threat to themselves and actually unwell, that is very likely that they would have elevated levels of narcissistic personality, such that they regarded themselves as perfect and deserving of a perfect body and this sort of thing. And therefore wanted to have plastic surgery in order to achieve it. He found that apart from narcissism, the other mental illness that was strongly elevated or mental condition that was elevated in these females that present for plastic surgery was histrionic disorder. This is a disorder associated with attention seeking and a desperate desire for approval. So basically, this is something that you would expect to be associated with neuroticism, with low self-esteem, with mental instability, with having a weak sense of self and your own importance, which then manifests itself in this desire to look better so that other people like you more. Basically, it's a deeply, deeply insecure person. So two extremes, really. One is a deeply, profoundly insecure person that's desperate to be liked, and the other is a narcissist who regards it as their sort of right to have a perfect body, and on some level there is an insecurity in narcissism as well, obviously, because you've got to try and reach this perfection, and anything which questions your perception of your own perfection is going to trigger you and make you terribly, terribly angry. So you have these two dimensions to the kind of women who present for plastic surgery. Now, if we look at then another thing that was explored in this in a paper, this was by a 1982 paper, which I will put in the below the video, was makeup usage among females. And it was found that women who use a lot of makeup tend to be high in social anxiety. And this makes sense. It would be congruous with women who want a plastic surgery having histrionic disorder, because if you have high in social anxiety, therefore you're very, very, very paranoid about being regarded as ugly, being regarded as unattractive. You think people, negative thoughts strongly, that's what neuroticism is about, so you think people think you're ugly, and therefore the only solution is to wear lots and lots of makeup. And you're also deeply concerned about what others think of you, and you want them to see you as attractive desperately, and you desperately want their approval, and so of course you wear lots and lots of makeup. So wearing lots and lots of makeup, piling on the slap, seems to be associated, when you control, of course, for how good looking somebody is and for age, then it tends to be associated with anxiety, with an anxious kind of personality, and particularly social anxiety. It's quite interesting on that front that, of course, a lot of women do wear makeup, and so we're talking about here controlling for how good looking a person is, but it's perfectly conceivable. What is makeup about? What makeup tends to do is it tends to basically make a woman look less old by making the eyes look bigger, which is a sign of youth, large eyes, making the lips look bigger, which is again a sign of youth. It tends to elevate symmetry by sort of making it look like higher cheekbones, things like this. So it's attempting unconsciously to manipulate men into thinking that a woman is a kind of better genetic quality than they are. And there's a degree to which, of course, if people wear lots of makeup, then it's quite noticeable that that's what's being done. Now, on that basis, you would expect sometimes women that don't wear much makeup or don't wear any makeup to be attractive, because it could be considered a kind of honesty signal of genetic quality. In a world in which all women are wearing makeup, if you're not wearing makeup and you're still good looking, then and young looking, then of course you must be extraordinarily good looking and young looking, because imagine what you'd look like if you had makeup on like everybody else. So it's like a peacock's tail. The peacock's tail is a handicap. It's a physical handicap which makes it more difficult for men, for peacocks to escape from predators and things like this. It's a physical handicap. And it's therefore an honesty signal of genetic quality. It's saying to peahens, look what good genes I must have if I've got the energy left over to be able to grow this impressive, massive handicap of a tail. I must have fantastic genes, because if I had worse genes, I would be investing disproportionately more of my bioenergetic resources into fighting off pathogens and whatever. And so I end up with a smaller, more asymmetrical, less attractive, gaudy tail. And so the fact that I've got, and so therefore, of course, the pea hen is attracted to these big tails. The bigger the better, the more colourful the better, because it's a sign of the genetic quality of, it's an honesty signal of the genetic quality of the peacock. Well, it could be the same with females. She's deliberately handicapping herself by not wearing makeup. And thus it's kind of saying to you, well, look how good my genetic quality is, that I'm not even bothering wearing makeup. So although I might not be prettier than this girl here, I haven't got any makeup on, so look how good I am, so go for me. So it could be seen in that sense. And also in the sense that wearing lots of makeup is associated with mental instability, it's saying I'm not mentally unstable, which from the perspective of a K strategist who is looking for a female to marry and to invest in and have children and make sure he's not cuckolded by and all this sort of thing, a man who's actually willing to invest his resources in the female, the psychology of the female is important. He wants a female who isn't mentally unstable, because being mentally unstable is associated with divorce, is associated with marital breakdown, it's associated with having affairs and things like this. And if you're going to invest in the female, you don't want a female like that. And so again, you can see how a woman without makeup would start to become attractive. And it's very interesting, in many religious groups, females don't wear much makeup. There's a group in Finland, in Oulu, called the Lestadians. The women don't wear any makeup at all. And so it can be seen in terms of not tricking the men, but also in terms of a kind of purity competition, a way of competing and saying, look at my genetic quality, a handicap. It's a very interesting idea. But anyway, in general, a high use of makeup is associated with mental instability. Positive body image, according to research by I'll put it below the video, is associated with not wearing much makeup. Positive body image, low neuroticism. So in general, lots and lots of makeup, when you control for how good-looking people are, is associated with neuroticism. Of course, if they're very, very ugly, you'll expect them to wear more makeup, but that's a slightly different matter. There was another piece of research by Zaborski et al., and they found that there is no that females who present for plastic surgery, breast augmentations in this instance, are above averagely neurotic, and there is no difference in neuroticism after the surgery. So it doesn't make them less neurotic. They're just above averagely neurotic. There was a study by Java et al., and they found that one of the main predictors of being interested in having cosmetic surgery of any kind is simply low educational level. So women who aren't particularly intelligent. And this would make sense because you would expect that low intelligence tends to be associated with low openness, which in turn tends to be associated with sort of everyday things like and instinctive things like wanting to look good and that sort of thing. So that kind of makes sense. There was yet another study which looked at having any kind of radical change in appearance. Women will often go through phases where they will decide to dress suddenly quite differently. They've been through a long period of dressing in a certain way, let's say 1950s clothes, and then they'll dress in a different way. A change in appearance tends like this, and in how women present themselves tends to be, so if they wear lots of makeup, then suddenly they're not wearing any makeup, this kind of thing, tends to be associated with mental instability. It tends to be associated with some sort of mental breakdown, according to this research by Pierce. It means that that females are under a great deal of stress, and they deal with this by taking control of the situation and thus changing how they present themselves. It's a way of taking control, a way of providing structure, a way of testing out a new self, and thus evidencing the instability of the self. So again, this is another instance in which use of makeup or not use of makeup or whatever, caring about your appearance seems to be associated with mental instability. In addition, there's a very interesting study called Markers of Misbehaviour. This was very interesting. And it looked at different sort of societally unusual ways of presenting yourself, which would tend to be, of course, it would imply that you're very, very interested in what you look like and in how others perceive what you look like. There were a number of things they used. They looked at tattoos and the extent of tattoos. They looked at females, particularly females, dyeing their hair, and in particular dyeing their hair bright, unnatural colours like pink and red and blue and whatever. They looked at the use of piercings, and in particular piercings that other than ears and nose. So these were regarded as radical piercings, piercing your lip, piercing your tongue, that sort of thing. They looked at wearing massive amounts of makeup to the extent that you're almost dressing up, such as is the case among goths and other such subcultures. And they looked at various other examples of, you know, people that would be seen to have punkers and whatever, people that would be seen to have radical, unusual appearance. And what they found again and again is that what these kinds of appearance are associated with is high psychopathology, that high openness and low self-esteem. It's high psychopathology, that is to say psychopathic personality disorder. This is something that crosses over very strongly with narcissism. We're talking about low agreeableness, which means you kind of don't want to conform, and you want to kind of spit in the face of society by being different and weird and shocking. Low conscientiousness. Conscientiousness is rule following. So again, you don't want to conform. You don't want to follow the rules. You want to do quite the opposite. And you want to not follow the rules. Basically, what we've called in other videos an R strategy. You are a narcissist. You are a You're a psychopath. You don't care about others. You don't care about the feelings of others. You don't care about structure and following a plan. And you just want to stand out and shock and just spread chaos wherever you go. So that's the first thing that predicts these kinds of ways of dressing. The second, openness. It's a personality trait. It's just associated with being open to anything new, anything unusual, anything strange, anything novel. And the third, then, is simply low self-esteem. Well, this is basically a very, very important trait of neuroticism, which we've seen is the case with all of these kinds of people who are very, very obsessed with their appearance. They tend to evidence aspects to varying degrees of neuroticism. They have low self-esteem. They don't think much of themselves. They feel negative feelings strongly. And they try to deal with this by being obsessed with what they look like, because it thinks it makes it generates a reaction from other people, a positive reaction, or at least it gives them a sense of power over other people, or something like that. And so this elevates their self-esteem, and they kind of feel better. So that was that. Now, finally, I was, of course, a great deal of response with regard to what I did on tattoos. So I want to look at this again. What I showed in my other video is that there is a relationship between having tattoos and having low agreeableness and low conscientiousness, which makes sense in the sense that you're shocking people, that you're drawing attention to the nature of your body, which is associated with investing in sex rather than investing in the mind. That you're kind of not conforming to societal norms by having these tattoos, which shows low rule following. And low agreeableness, that you're highly individualistic by having these tattoos specific to you, which is associated with low rule following and low agreeableness, and that it's also associated with mental instability because it's a way of asserting a sense of self, implying that you lack a clear sense of self, and so it makes sense that it's associated with mental instability. Now, I looked at this in another video, and one of the things that was fascinating about the response was the utter stupidity of the response. People saying things like, "Oh, I've got a tattoo and I'm a lovely person. You know, I adopt two disabled children and I'm very nice. I've got tattoos, you know." And these just idiotic responses, and also very, very unpleasant, nasty, abusive responses as well. You know, having a go at me personally and being very, very nasty. Now, this shouldn't be surprising, firstly, because of course having tattoos is associated with low agreeableness, as I said, so you'd expect the people that have them to be above averagely aggressive and nasty, and not that they all are, but above averagely, and so therefore you'd expect more so than you would if you perhaps were seen to criticize some other group to get aggressive responses. But secondly, what was fascinating was the inability to understand what an average is. People would say things like, "Oh, I tattoos people have got low, not very nice people. I'm nice." But that was a failure to understand the nature of an average. It was a failure to understand the nature of a small effect size. It was a fallacious appeal to anecdote. It implies that the person that would say such a thing would either be of a very impulsive kind of personality, such that this would overwhelm their intelligence, which is one would predict would be the case, but also that they wouldn't be particularly intelligent, that there wouldn't be that much going on upstairs. And so it got me thinking, is there a relationship between having tattoos and intelligence? Now, a lot of the studies that I've found on this before, until now, have all got quite small sample sizes, and so there isn't a relationship, but that's a function of the fact that the correlation is too small and the sample size is too small for a significant relationship to be generated. Fortunately, I found some research by my colleague Emil Kierkegaard, who mined the OkCupid dating website, wherein people filled out a kind of IQ test. And this could be correlated with various other questions that they were asked. And one of these was about tattoos and the extent of tattoos and liking tattoos and what you thought of tattoos and whatever. And this could be correlated with how many questions you got right. Now, he mined this website, and so he had an N of something like 70,000. So a huge N, a huge, and he did find a weak but significant relationship between negative relationship between intelligence and having tattoos. So people who have tattoos are, on average, less intelligent than people who don't have tattoos. And the difference was much bigger with women than men. So it's women that have tattoos, they are much lower IQ than the women that don't. whereas men that have tattoos are a moderately lower IQ than the men that don't. And I suppose this would seem to make sense in so much as there are various male social histories that involve getting tattoos, such as being in the army or being in the navy or being in various subcultures, whereas with women you don't get that so much. And so therefore you would expect women who would get tattoos to be, as it were, our strategists. And our strategy involves a syndrome of traits that go together, where you invest more of your energy in a fast life history, live fast and die young, than a slow life history, which is where you invest in nurture. There are these two extremes to how people live their lives. And having a fast life history, where you live fast and die young, there's little selection. You've got to basically just have sex with as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, and be wiped out. And so there's very little selection pressure in such ecologies for conscientiousness, on getting on with people, because there could be no payback on your quid pro quo, because the person could be wiped out. Very little investment in agreeableness, because there's no need to get on with people, really, because the ecology is quite easy, but it's unstable, and very little reason to select for intelligence. And so it follows that these things tend to go together. Our strategists, people that are low in conscientiousness and low in agreeableness, tend to be low in intelligence. They invest their energy in sex. People, as you move away from that, you become more intelligent, you become more cooperative, and you invest more of your energy in nurture. And this is the theory. So it makes sense. So they do seem to have low intelligence. But my general conclusion is that it's quite clear that a moderate amount of exercise and whatever is a matter of people who are high in agreeableness, high in conscientiousness, high in extroversion as well, because exercise always makes you feel good, and extroversion involves feeling positive, feeling strongly. But when it gets to those who are very interested in it, who are very interested in how they look, and who think it's very important that men have to have big muscles and that women have to have certain secondary sexual characteristics, or, you know, large, preferably secondary sexual characteristics, so they're interested in how they look. That for them, that's important. It's important for they've got to make sure they look good. Those people, it seems, are combine mental instability and psychopathic personality. So the next time that you're, and narcissism, so the next time that you're dealing with somebody who says, oh God, your arms are a bit thin, realise you're probably dealing with somebody who is high in psychopathic personality and high in mental instability. And accordingly, you're dealing with somebody who you should probably avoid. Okay, well, I hope that has been of interest. And if you've enjoyed it, then please do subscribe. It's very important. It really helps you subscribe and spread the word. Please do spread the word. It really helps if you do that. You might want to give me a few guineas on Subscribestar or PayPal or Patreon so I can build up some more muscle. Or indeed, more preferably, just do more research. And of course, you can go to my books on Amazon. And if this was an idea that was somebody, one of my watchers, kind of inspired me to do, so I'd like to thank her. And if you have any ideas, do get in touch. I've been fascinated by some of the ideas that you've had and presented to me, and I may well do a video on them. And as I say, I hope you've enjoyed this. And goodbye.